Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3. It's the breakfast huddle. You're with Elliot Danker, Manisha Tang and Ryan Hwang. It is time for the bigger picture. And off air, we were having a conversation about life getting back to normal, whether we want to go back to offices and things like that. Mm-hmm. But as we have these conversations, we have to think about the reflation aspect of the economy and the impact on the economy.
Yeah. I mean, the narrative this year, Ryan, has so far been around the rotation from growth to cyclicals.
That's right. With that reflation trade, how the economy is bouncing back, there are rising expectations for inflation to be rebounding. So that is really reflecting in what I've been seeing in the past few weeks and months on Wall Street, where growth names, high-flying growth names and tech stocks have been losing ground to the likes of industrials and cyclicals. So that is the picture we have on Wall Street. But Maybank Kim Eng is still quite bullish on Singapore technology stocks. So what's going on? Let's check in with Jin Lee Lai. He is the analyst from Maybank Kim Eng. Morning, Jin Lee. How are you doing?
Hi, morning, Ryan. Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great as well. Hey, Jin, thanks for joining us. We want to get a take on what's happening in the Singapore tech space. Of course, we've been hearing about the narrative around the sector rotation. So why are you still bullish and positive on the tech sector?
So much of the rotation has been from growth to value and also to reopening place. So one of the reasons why we're still positive on Singapore tech stocks is because we see Singapore tech stocks as being growth at a reasonable price. At the same time, Singapore tech stocks have also generally done well during times of economic reflation in the past.
Yeah, so if you look at the bond yields, what type of correlation can we draw between rising bond yields, which are now at 1.72%? How much does it impact the trading of stocks here in the tech space?
So by and large, if we look over a larger or longer time horizon, we think that macro factors such as 10-year bond yields doesn't really affect the share price performance of Singapore tech stocks, at least not as much as some of the micro factors and company-specific earnings drivers. One of the reasons why we think is because each company that we look at have their own very specific company drivers. And so we tend to want to focus more on these drivers as we study and formulate our investment thesis on these companies. So and at the end of the day, we're still a lot more focused on these company-specific earnings drivers. Mm. And by and large, we see these companies as still being very interesting from both a cyclical as well as a structural perspective.
Yeah, Jim, we'll dive into the details of these companies, but give us the overview first. Let's take a step back. If you look at Wall Street, you've got the big names, Netflix, Google, Facebook, and Twitter. But in Singapore, what type of tech are we talking about?
So in Singapore, the tech space is one that is largely hardware manufacturing based, contrasting as in the US, as you suggested, you know, where you have got internet plays and software plays aside from the hardware plays. Specifically, the way we look at our coverage is like we like to split it into two. On the one hand, you have companies that are exposed to semicon equipment, and on the other hand, you have got contract manufacturers and EMS companies that are more leveraged to a diverse set of end markets, such as in medical, analytical, or even in consumer electronics as well.
Yeah, so we've got semicon and EMS, which is advanced manufacturing. Give us the zoom in then on what companies are in these two halves.
Sure. So in semicon equipment, that you get someone like UMS and AEM. In the middle, you get someone like Franken, who has got semicon equipment exposure as well as exposure to a wide variety of other end markets, such as, again, analytical and medical and even automotive. Mm. And you also have someone like Venture, which is which has quite a broad base of markets. Again, you see analytical, medical, you have networking, and even consumer electronics and industrial as well.
Yeah, Jim, we mentioned semicon. What jumps to mind is the supply crunch that we've been hearing about in recent times, how there's a shortage of chips. Is this going to be one of those factors lifting the likes of UMS and Franken?
Actually, the way we look at it is that we see UMS as one of the places for investors to ride out the semicon, or rather the chip shortages that we are experiencing globally, because we think that this is one of the factors that is supportive of the current equipment upswing that we're seeing right now. Like, you know, I think this is going to, in that sense, support chip makers' spending plans. Mm. In terms of Franken, yes, we are positive towards Franken from the perspective that they are that they have, you know, revenues coming from semiconductor equipment end markets, but at the same time they also have a portion of revenue coming from automotive end markets. And so while we are pretty comfortable with our earnings expectations right now, I think the risk or the caution that we're looking out there is just that you know, we are just mindful of risks that shortages could impact their supply chains and in turn impact them as well.
Yeah, Gene, talking about headwinds and tailwinds, one of the big headlines in recent weeks is Intel making a bold move into opening up more factories, $20 billion in two new factories in Arizona, as well as challenging the likes of TSMC and Samsung with opening up into a more foundry type of business model. Is that going to be good news for the chip space here?
Yeah, actually, we do see some of these players as being, or rather, the local players as being beneficiaries of this. If you're talking about, you know, the spending plan and the new foundry business, we see that as benefiting AEM the most, especially if Intel is going to open up their or share HDMT and system level tests to these new potential foundry clients. And the reason why we say that is because, first of all, then AEM can be a beneficiary as US technology players try to reduce their reliance on North Asian foundries. And secondly of all, because we think that this may provide AEM some immunity from the rising risk of ARM chips potentially displacing x86 chips in high performance computing. Yeah. And then, of course, as Intel increases capacity in the front end in the current year, as also in coming years, this will probably translate well to UMS and Franken as well, because Intel has said that they're going to focus more on EUV, and this in this case will benefit ASML, which is a client of Franken, and also they're focusing more on advanced packaging as well, and this should benefit Applied Materials, which is a customer of both UMS and Franken.
Yeah, so quite a bit of support coming through from the big spending plans from Intel. And just to wrap things up, Gene, you've got UMS, Franken, AEM, and UMS. Walk us through the valuations that we're seeing right now, and what sort of upside are you looking for in the year ahead?
So right now, they're being around low to mid-teens, by and large, based on FY21 times PE. In terms of the upside, we're looking at some of a double-digit upside for most of these names. Maybe just for those that are trading at the lower, for instance, for UMS, they are now trading on the lower end of the teens, but as the cycle progresses and matures, typically what we see at the peak cycle valuation would be around mid-teens or such. And for companies like Franken, you know, we feel that historical valuations may not necessarily be reflective of future potential because they are going from a phase where they were restructuring and fixing a lot of things in the company right now and graduating into a phase where they are now able to be in a position to launch more products with better design value add. We think that this is going to translate better into better than expected margins. At the same time, also, we think that this is a story, or rather the feedback that we've gotten is that this is a story that institutional investors really like. So we think that that's probably going to translate well into multiples as well.
I see a buy rating on Venture, AEM, UMS, Franken, and a hold rating on Valutronics. Gene, thank you so much for your time today. We've been chatting with Gene Lee Lai. He's the analyst for Maybank Kim Eng. Gene, thank you so much and have a great day ahead.
Thank you. Have a great day ahead.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.